Did you know that 90% of the world's millionaires invest in real estate? Well, I'm Angel with the Academy Presents Real Estate Investing Rocks, and I'm here to help you if you want to go for your piece of that pie. Are you new? Are you new to this and you just don't know where to start? It's okay. Are you someone that has invested, but you feel stuck? You feel like you've lost momentum. You don't know where to really head from here. Are you a seasoned real estate investor who is doing great, but maybe you just want to hone a few skills here and there? This is the place for you. The Academy Presents Real Estate Investing Rocks podcast will connect you with industry experts so that you can save time, avoid costly mistakes, and begin living the life you've dreamed of, all through real estate investing. You're already taking the first step just by joining us here today. So I'm betting you don't have one system. You probably have like a bazillion systems. And then you got a bazillion more from all the people you've talked to.
Absolutely.
How do you make that leap?
So part of the question is the budget, right? Because if I told you that I was the one that was behind the automations, that I created the newsletter, that I was the one that walked people through Syndication Pro, that I was the one that was doing the social media marketing, that I was also running my own podcast, doing the audio editing, doing the video editing, at some point there's too much on your plate, right? So you got to find some people that can help you with these things. So we have somebody that's a director of marketing. We have another person that helps with social media, another person that kind of creates the automations in our ActiveCampaign back office. We got another person that does the investor relations and the management of the investors once they come through and gets them to show their accreditation status and walks them through Syndication Pro. And I just don't have the time or bandwidth to do all of these things. So how do you scale to the point is you got to find some people that hopefully can survive for a couple of years as you're building your business with the end objective to make money as you take down a couple of syndications or build to rents or whatever it is that you're doing. But as a lot of people in the world know that are real estate professionals in a variety of capacities, sometimes when you're in real estate, you might not see a paycheck for 6 months or longer. And like, how do you survive in that time space, right? And like, how do you pay people to work for you? Well, you got to find a couple of partners that are also willing to kind of do their portion, right? So like, I pay for everything that the Capital Raiser Show does, and I don't expect my partners at Legacy to pay for that. But even though like the people that are coming in from my podcast, they're becoming capital raisers for our business. So it kind of all balances out, and we try and keep each other afloat and give each other positive reaffirmation that they're in the right place, because it is scary. It's very challenging, especially if you're married and there's bills to be paid and you got a mortgage, a car, utilities, and everything else. Like, geez, how am I supposed to do this thing? And that's where it becomes a little bit tricky to scale your business, because you're so focused on trying to survive that it's hard to build out these systems and bring other people and find them. But one of the ways that you can possibly do that is by expanding your reach. So I love this kind of thing that Hunter Thompson teaches, because he says a lot of people in the capital raising space, they're very focused on trying to change their ratio from 10% to 20% closing. So that if I talk to 10 people, instead of one person investing in the syndication, two people will. And what Hunter Thompson says is really the focus should be on how do I get in front of 10,000 people? Because then you don't have to change your process. You just have to get in front of more people, and you have to find a platform to do that, whether it's a meetup, like you have a conference, that's an amazing, amazing platform. I'm sure it's a ton of work too, but this is what's going to get you in front of more and more people, right? So podcast releases, going and starting your own show, possibly having ongoing newsletters and consistent ongoing communication with your people. These are all some of the tools that you need to implement. So for the aspiring capital raiser out there, like, take a breath, hang out with some people that are already good at what you're doing, and try and ride their coattails as you survive in your process of scaling. That's like the best advice that I can give.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. So you've got your network and you've got your avatar, you've got your network. What kind of conversations do you suggest? Like, how do you start that money conversation without making them run off?
Well, it depends on how you position yourself. If you're chasing them, it's a different conversation than if they're chasing you. Or if they're, you know, like, so my best way to talk to people is exactly what you do at Brian Briscoe's meetup, right? Hey, where are you at on your multifamily journey? Oh, you know, like, I just took down a deal. And then before you know it, they're all excited about the fact that they're investing and they're feel like they're being listened to. So that's always my first question to anybody that gets on my calendar. Hey, you know, thanks for your time today. Like, where are you on your multifamily investing journey? And then that leads into so many different things, but it's never about like, let me sell you build to rent, or let me sell you on our existing deal or some future deal. It's like, who are you? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? And, you know, is there anything I'm always looking for? Is there anything that I can relate with them? You know, are they snowboarders? Do they like meditation? Do they like Thinking Grow Rich? Do they like reading? Do they like podcasting? Do they like any of the same things that I like? You know, if they've started a family, I want to start a family. Well, how did you, you know, hook that up and create a family? Because I want to have babies and I still don't, you know, like, tell me about that. And they feel like they're being listened to. But the main objective is just to make friends and never sell anything. So that's what I try and do, and just try and make genuine friendships with people. And some people, if they like you, they'll ask for more details about what you do. And if you get in front of enough people, they'll kind of self-select. You know, I've been watching you and your content for the last couple of years. I think I want to explore a little bit further doing business with you. You seem to know what you're doing. You seem to have some good partners that are also very good at what they're doing. I like your content. Let's talk about this. Can we raise capital for you? Or inject some capital into your business? What does this look like? How do I get paid for doing this? What's the time frame? Tell me about your deals. And then they start becoming curious and they ask all the questions that they want to have the answers to. It's not you just kind of selling whatever it is that you want to sell. People start asking you and you kind of prime them. You're like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing. We're in Louisiana. Oh, well, why are you there and not doing it? Don't you live in Phoenix? How come you're not doing build to rent in Phoenix? That's a fantastic question. Well, because it's a major pain in the butt to do build to rent here. And the red tape is enormous, right? It's like 3 years. And, you know, my objective is to get the investor their capital back as fast as possible. And in certain markets, like in Louisiana and Alabama, we can do that. So that's why that's a great question. And kind of just have a regular conversation like that.
Hey guys, it's Angel. In case you didn't know, I put on a 3-day virtual summit twice a year. It's the Real Estate Investing Rocks Summit, and I've been hosting it since March of 2020. The next one, number 11, is March 25th, 26th, and 27th. 3 full days, no cost to you. My friend Sandy is speaking, and she supported me at every single summit since I started. Joe Fairless, Kathy Fedke, a Tony Award winner, another friend who's raised literal millions from people met on LinkedIn, and the list goes on. You have to join our Mighty Networks community to gain access, and that link, it's in the show notes. Wow. No, that's great. And some other stuff that you covered, you talk about like keeping your investors warm. I think that that is incredibly important, especially right now, because I'm hearing from people all the time that people that invest with them deal after deal after deal are pulling back a little bit. You know, they're giving them a little bit of the cold shoulder, or they're ghosting them completely. How do you like hedge against that? How do you keep those investors warm?
So there's a lot of fear going on. And one of the questions that pertains to this is like, how do you project yourself as a confident human being that stays successful in times of hardship? During times of COVID, do you disappear when something funky happens on the property and, like, you know, the roof kind of caves in and almost damages some people's property? Like, and maybe that affects the cash flow 1 month or the next. Are you communicating all this stuff? Are you presenting yourself in such a way where you have access to pick up the phone and call the sponsor at all times? Or communicate with somebody. I think this is part of the the communication that's required to keep investors warm? Are they getting a newsletter from you? Are they hearing you on podcasts? Are they receiving investor updates? You know, all of these things is what you do to keep investors warm. And you don't want to disappear in times of hardship. And right now, it is a time because people are freaking out about the gas prices, although they've been starting to come down a little bit. They're still paying more for stuff than they did a couple of years ago, and that's freaking them out. So people are kind of like hesitant to invest in things. They want to see what the market is going to do. Not only that, but the price of lending has increased significantly, right? So like it used to be earlier this year, 3.25% for a 30-year mortgage. And now it's like 5.75% or something similar to that. And when you're taking down multifamily value add properties or some other nuanced, niched multifamily kind of asset, whether that's A class or heavy lift or student housing or senior living or whatever niche it is, like, can you still make the property pencil? And what's going to happen in the future? And are you going to be willing to do bridge debt still? Or, you know, are you going to try and get Fannie Freddie financing or agency debt now? You know, and you'll be stuck with the deal without, you know, you'll have prepayment penalties and you don't know what's going to happen in a few years. So there's all these questions that are people that are making people very nervous. All while this is happening, you know, the prices of housing is increasing because the prices of mortgages are increasing. So the prices of people that don't necessarily want to buy a house right now, they're kind of moving into rent, which is great for multifamily, great for built to rent, because there's such a demand for housing and the price keeps going up. There's going to be constantly people that are wanting to stay in your apartment buildings and or houses that you're building or anything else that you're kind of providing for the general public, especially in the workforce housing department. So how do you keep investors warm in between deals? You stay present. You confidently communicate that you are a leader, the person that they should be following in these times. And then you don't disappear and you stay consistent during these times. And you continue to show them why it makes sense for them to invest with you by continuing to take down properties, even without their capital, right? So that's kind of one of the things that creates more people to return invest, right? So, because they have this fear of missing out. I remember back in the early days, we would have an investor fly into town to look at a fourplex, and they'd be like, oh, well, I don't know you very well yet. And we'd tell them, hey, we're going to take this thing down anyways. And then sure enough, we would. And they would see us perform and purchase these properties. And then we'd go back to them and be like, look, man, this is the astronomical cash flow that you just missed out on. And they're like, oh man, I can't miss the next one. You know, let me know when the next one comes. And then sure enough, that's how you would get them to invest. So by continuing to perform, by continuing to communicate throughout these periods of time when investing gets a little bit harder, that improves the investor confidence from limited partners to the point where they're like, man, why am I not buying real estate? Like, just because everybody else is scared doesn't mean that I should be. Doesn't like Warren Buffett say, like, when everybody's afraid, that's exactly when you should be investing? So they'll kind of figure it out on themselves as long as they see that you're consistently doing business and operating from ethical, you know, perspectives and showing up and taking down deals. They'll eventually come back to you, because at the end of the day, one of the biggest mistakes you can make if you like real estate is not to buy enough. And then the second mistake is to sell too soon. And when people see that, they're like, dang, I should have. I remember when COVID was here and I didn't invest and everybody else crushed it. I don't want to make the same mistake. And then they'll come and invest with you. And in some cases, hopefully, if they have enough investor confidence in you.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff you just dropped there.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to unpack it all too, right? So this is what we have the show for. We can dive into all these different kind of categories, and I get to pick like the greatest syndicators minds all day long. And then for the most part, there's nothing really for sale. I mean, I do a little bit of promotion of my sponsors, but like, we're not pitching deals on there. We're just kind of helping the capital raiser out there that wants to scale. So I recommend, if you are interested in learning about capital raising, like come get some free information on the Capital Raiser Show, or go through, you know, whoever your favorite podcaster is, and then select the capital raising episodes there, which is also a great avenue for learning about this. And for some people, they don't want to do anything other than raise capital. And I'm kind of one of those people where I don't want to be in charge of like the acquisitions anymore. Back in the fourplex days, that was kind of cool, but I can't, it actually terrifies me. Like, how am I going to compete with Zach Kaptenstall in Phoenix and take down a property at the same level that he does? And he's got 150 employees. Like, how am I going to manage it as good as he does? So I just stay in my lane. Hey, let's just focus on making friends, finding capital raisers, and niche down into something that we're really good at, that we're confident at, which is buying and acquiring land and subdividing it and putting in infrastructure and building houses and selling the entire subdivision off to an institution. There's not a lot of people in the world that can do that. So if we're good at that, that makes life easier. We don't have to compete with Zach Kaptenstall. We can do our own thing, stay in our own lane, kind of create our own brand. And that it makes it life a lot more comfortable for me, right?
Yeah. But I will say, like, the idea of getting smaller to get bigger, that is incredibly counterintuitive.
I haven't really thought about it that way. Getting smaller. So sub niche down, I guess, could be perceived as getting smaller. But what we're doing is we're creating expertise in an area that a lot of people are not experts at, in order to be able to differentiate ourselves from people. And the built to rent stuff, it's growing pretty quickly, right? So we have one project that's 100 units, another one that's 154 that's being engineered. And then we're going to build another 220 and then another 240. And like within 18 months, we'll be at 675 units and have this amazing momentum play to keep growing. And who knows, maybe we can get to 1,000 units that we've built in the next 3 years. But that's something that we can do by sub-niching down into a specific area of expertise. And a reason why a lot of people are leaving the value add space, because it's getting harder to make deals pencil. So they're kind of meandering into assisted living and senior housing and heavy lift or development, whether that's built to rent or vertical development of like 3 or 4 story apartment buildings. You know, like, people are trying to find some way that they can make their investors enough money to stay in business throughout, you know, like anything that's happening right now. And it is, with this lending environment getting harder and harder, I've been hearing it quite a bit, to make things pencil. But on the owner operation side of it, people will always need a place to live. And I think I just saw on CoStar that there's a shortage of 4.3 million apartments right now. I don't even know what the number is for houses that are short, but I know that there's not enough houses either. So, you know, find a way to get in the game and stay in it, and don't stop buying. If you're on the sidelines right now, maybe, you know, be cognizant of what's going on, but don't let it paralyze you.
Yeah, no, man, you've shared so many just absolute golden nuggets. And
that's fantastic.
However many minutes, like, it has just flown by, and I'm going to be sitting on this and thinking for a few hours, because that was a lot. And I don't think people see all the moving parts, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to raise capital. And there's so much more to it than that. I thought it was going to be easy. I was like, I know a ton of people. World. This is going to be easy.
It's an entire world. You can go into so many little parts of just the capital raising. It's an entire universe.
Yeah. But, you know, just thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing that massive knowledge with everybody that's attending and listening and that's going to listen in the future, because this was huge. I don't even know how else to explain it other than it was huge. Massive.
Awesome.
Lots.
And it's really fun too. And it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a blast.
Well, thank you for saying yes. And thank you for being willing to share everything, or not even everything, like this small little piece of everything you know, because I feel like you know so much more. You are an expert in this particular part of it, because that's what you do and that's what you committed to. And kudos to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind.
That's awesome. So, guys, stick around. There is so much more to come, and there's so much more that's already happened, and you absolutely want to be here and be a part of this. And maybe you come and join us on the live side. But until then, I'll see you later.
Thank you.